This is Sci-Fi For Me.
Hi, everybody. Jason Hunt here, along with Timothy Harvey, sitting across the table from me here.
Hello, hello.
And this is what I think we're going to start calling an H2O one-shot. This is not going to be an hour to an hour and a half long discussion about a particular topic. We're only going to take about 15 minutes here just to put out, gut reactions to things that are happening, things that are people that are talking about. This one, of course, the internet exploding over the departure of the creative team on the Batwoman title at DC Comics. And at the risk of this show being mistaken for a comic books show, which we're going to be talking about other stuff, I promise, we're going to talk about the Batwoman flap. And not necessarily from the standpoint of the Batwoman flap, but what it means in a broader sense in terms of what's going on over at DC. And we're certainly going to have a longer discussion about this a little bit later on in the year. But we're gonna address just simply from the standpoint of what's going on with the Batwoman title over the weekend. Crazy stuff. What is DC doing?
I just don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you look at what they've been doing with their creative staff and what appears to be serious editorial
interference,
heavy-handedness, interference, just really curious decisions, and some really, really talented people have been walking away from the company because of those very reasons, and they've been public about some of those editorial, you know. George Perez, 6 issues into 52, and he's gone?
Yeah, 6 issues. Andy Diggle, Josh Fielkoff, James Robinson. Let's see, who else has left?
Well, Gail Simone almost did.
Gail Simone got fired and then rehired because people had a just a rage orgy about that. Rob Liefeld.
Mm-hmm. No great loss there.
Liefeld. James McGuire. Alice Cott.
Mm-hmm.
And now Hayden Blackman and J.H. Williams III.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we want to make very clear, because it's blown up all over the internet, and you and I have been looking at this before we started recording here now, is that the creators themselves have made it very, very clear that, if those of you who don't know, Batwoman is one of the few lesbian main...
Spoilers.
I'm sorry, folks, if you weren't aware. She's one of the few lesbian superheroes of any kind of prominence.
Openly lesbian.
Openly lesbian. And it's been one of those things in the comic where it's been a character thing. It has not been a, oh my goodness, she's a lesbian. It's, this is who she is. This is Batwoman. This is Kate. She happens to be a lesbian. And they've played with that in some really good writing. I mean, these guys have, there have been no real complaints about the quality of the writing on this book.
Well, even going as back, as far back when Greg Rucka was writing, and he's another one that left, the character has always been written without the titillation factor. It's not been one of these, let's make it a gimmick that she's a lesbian.
Right.
It's just been part of who she is.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that those writers understood is that if you're going to create a character who happens to be a lesbian character or a gay character or a black character or a Hispanic character, you're doing it because that you see a way to tell good stories with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that's the way you're supposed to do it. And we both know that sometimes that doesn't happen.
Are you listening, DC?
And some of these characters have been really, really good that way. And they've done a really fantastic job. And Batwoman is a solid example of how to do it right. However, one of the things that we're kind of seeing, and again, this is what's blowing up on the internet. There's a lot of folks who are saying that, this is, one of the issues, if you haven't been following this, folks, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah, we should set the table.
Let's set the table here. One of the things that's been going on in the comic themselves, the things that the writers have been building towards, there's been several things that actually are going to, several story elements that are going to apparently just drop by the wayside because they're leaving. But one of the big ones was Kate got engaged. She got engaged to Maggie Sawyer. And Maggie Sawyer is a fairly well-known character prior to New 52. And as some of you may recall from our first podcast, I'm not a huge fan of New 52, so I haven't followed Maggie's too much about her outside of Batwoman.
Now, Maggie, sorry, went before New 52, Maggie was in Metropolis, though.
Yeah, she was.
She was part of the metahuman squad thing there, and
right.
Granted, I haven't read a lot of New 52 either, but did she start in New 52 in Gotham then?
I believe so.
She's the new Renee Montoya then in Gotham City?
I think more or less, if folks, in the comment section on this, if you could please feel free to correct us. Some of this stuff we Jason and I still remember the previous universe.
Yeah.
And the memories get confusing.
that could be just because we're old.
That could be that too. Yeah. But so anyway, she and Maggie get engaged. And this was, again, it was a part of a story, character-driven arc. Like everything else with these guys have done a really, really good job of giving this kind of quality storytelling.
And it should be noted that this was a planned thing that editorial had signed off on over a year ago.
Right. This is not a new piece of information.
No, everybody knew what the plan was going into the title when Williams and Blackman came on to the book.
And so what we end up with, unfortunately, is them basically being told there's not going to be a marriage.
Now, this is from the letter that Blackman and Williams put out over the weekend. This is, and I'm quoting here, "Unfortunately, in recent months, DC has asked us to alter or completely discard many long-standing storylines in ways that we feel compromise the character and the series. We were told to ditch plans for Killer Croc's origins, forced to drastically alter the original ending of our current arc, which would have defined Batwoman's heroic future in bold new ways." That's probably the wedding. "And most crushingly, prohibited from ever showing Kate and Maggie actually getting married. All of these editorial decisions came at the last minute and always after a year or more of planning and plotting on our end." Now, that to me, in addition to Williams and Blackman both getting on Twitter saying it was never about the gay marriage thing, that tells me that there's a whole lot more going on at DC editorial interfering with the creatives. Because you just stack that on top of everything else that we've heard out of the last 2 years. And yet, everybody on the internet is latching on to the gay marriage part.
Well, some of that is just going to be natural reaction. Because there are certainly going to be folks, there are going to be gay and lesbian fans of the title. There's always going to be a certain percentage of your audience that is going to be recognizing, looking at that character and saying, hey, they're like me.
Right.
And that's a good thing. You want people to be able to relate to your characters.
Sure.
But the majority of your gay and lesbian audience, I guarantee you, are looking at these series and they're going, ah, but is it written well? Okay. Is it a gay character or lesbian character I can relate to? Or is it someone who just happens to be gay or lesbian for, oh, look, we've got a gay or lesbian character.
Like Alan Scott.
Well, at least they had...
That was a gimmick.
At least they had Robinson. At least they had Robinson to write it. The problem is they don't anymore, so who knows? I can't... Anyway, always remember that the loudest people on the internet are just the loudest people on the internet. They're not the people who you want to be listening to. Some of these people, they just scream louder. The creators themselves are saying it has nothing to do with it being a gay marriage or a lesbian marriage. What it seems to be is a let's not get our characters married at all because we've lost Lois Lane and Clark Kent.
Barry Allen and Iris West.
Yeah, I mean it.
Alan Scott. He's not married now, so his two kids are gone.
Right.
He was married for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, and it's
Ralph and Sue Dibny.
Yeah.
They're not married. Animal Man is still married, but he's separated. So, does that count? The only one that's still married is Aquaman, and that's Geoff Johns writing. And it's like they pointed out on the internet. Who's going to tell Geoff Johns what he can write, what he can't
write?
Because he's Geoff Johns, and he's what creative. What's his big highfalutin title?
Oh God,
something.
Hi, Mucky Muck.
he's Biggie Wow Geoff Johns. Who's going to tell him no?
Right, and unfortunately, he can't write every title, and he doesn't have he's not making the big decisions. So I'm pretty sure that if he had a compelling reason to make Lois and Clark get married again, this is actually a request.
Let's go beyond just getting Lois and Clark back together again. Let's reboot
Yeah,
I'm
really thinking there's a reboot. I think there's a reboot coming. I really do. But it becomes one of those things, and admittedly, on a storytelling level, okay, on one level, I can understand an editorial decision saying, hey, we want the character to have, you know, the flexibility of storytelling. Once you marry off a character, to some degree, certain storylines go away. Other storylines open up. But, you know, over at Marvel Comics, there was that lovely example of how to completely tick off your entire fan base in 2007, 2008 with Spider-Man and the destroying for what has to be one of the dumbest sell your soul to the devil moments in the history of sell your soul to the devil moments.
But at the time, though, when they did that, and there was the big outcry about it, the explanation was that Peter Parker has always been popular because he was the loser. He was the underdog. He was the one who didn't get everything that he wanted in life.
He had been with Mary Jane Watson for years.
I know that. I'm not saying that it was a justifiable
It's a terrible explanation.
But
yeah.
I mean, that was what we get told.
Right, but we also know that a certain editor over there, a certain editor-in-chief over there, hated that marriage, okay? And he wanted it gone. And so he made it happen. And okay, if you have a plan, right? If there's a plan and you make these decisions and things go forward and those things make sense, okay. But I'm sorry, I don't see a plan with DC. In fact, New 52 seems, after Crisis on Infinite Earth, we all know that for like the next 2 years after Crisis on Infinite Earth, those of you remember, once upon a time, there was
back in my day,
there was a major thing what happened. But they rebooted the entire DC universe. They collapsed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple of years, they were still picking up the pieces because they didn't plan it through all the way.
Right.
They planned a lot of it.
Crisis took 4.5 years of planning to do what they did.
Yeah, yeah. But there were still
New 52, they only spent, what, a year and a half, 2 years thinking about it?
So I think, they're wrapping up Batman Incorporated.
Hmm.
They're wrapping up a storyline that was begun and in the previous universe, and they rolled over into the new universe without any real explanation of how this happened.
Well, and that goes back to the bat filter on everything. Anything Batman related up until now has been relatively untouchable.
Well, you had Grant Morrison on the title, and he's somebody else who was carrying around a lot of clout, and you know, you basically don't tell Grant Morrison, you know, which they kind of did anyway. They did make him make some changes, and they'd make him alter some stuff along the way.
But you got Scott Snyder over on the regular Batman title, mm-hmm. who's now doing Superman Unchained,
right?
In addition, but he's probably the only writer out of all of the New 52 creatives that's still on the book he started on,
yeah.
For one. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he's writing Batman. And Batman is selling really well. And Batman impacts everything that DC is doing because Dark Knight Trilogy, we talked about that
right.
in our other podcast, which you can download on iTunes.
Go now.
No, wait till we're done. But this is the first we've seen DC editorial interference in a Bat title.
Well, this is true, and I think the only way they got away with it was because even though it is one of the Bat titles, and this is not a slam on the title itself, it's one of the lesser Bat titles. I mean,
well, she's not an original Batman,
right? And that's really what I mean by that. I mean, it's a well written book, and this is a loss for DC to do this. I mean, it really is. And this is one of those things where, which is just, I'm sorry, they've been shooting themselves in the head. And I love, folks, I love DC. I grew up with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and The Flash. And I've always been a big fan of these big iconic characters. And,
oh, yeah.
And yes, I love Marvel Comics too. And I was a big X-Men fan and Alpha Flight and all that stuff. But nothing's ever going to change the fact that I'm a DC guy. Which is why I'm still holding out hope that somehow they managed to fix this mess that they've made for themselves. And that's the sad thing is, there's good books coming out of New 52. But the problem is that overall they've managed to make these changes, I think, without thinking through what they really want to do with it. So I think you end up with this stuff where you're having titles that aren't running for a year, and they're not giving a chance. I realize that it's an instant gratification society. We do this with television, we do this with movies, we do this with comic books. If they don't sell right away, you don't give them a chance to breathe, you know.
But at the same time, that kind of flies in the face of DC always putting on their best face when it comes to digital sales, saying, oh yeah, digital's doing great. Well, nobody, and this is not just DC, but nobody shows their digital sales numbers.
Right.
And I would love to see those.
Oh, sure.
I would, Diamond puts out the print, here's the retail numbers, and, consistently DC is, in their graphic novels and their titles, granted, a lot of it is Batman, but they're going to be, 6 out of the top 10, but you look at the top 20 and 13 of them are Marvel.
Right.
As opposed to, DC's not dominating like they would like everybody to think. And it's stuff like this. It's this tinkering and internal stuff, which up until New 52, I don't think we really knew a whole lot about. I mean,
well, you'd hear every now and again. And
something.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a constant thing. I mean, was it the outhousers.com has a site specifically dedicated to how many days has it been since DC's done something stupid? I mean, and right now the counter is sitting at 0.
Right.
Because of everything that's been going on the last week, not just, I mean, the whole Batwoman thing has reset the clock. But before that, you had a lot of other things that we can talk about when we get into a longer show. But I don't think, to kind of come back on point, I don't think that DC is anti-gay marriage. I don't think they're anti-gay character or anything, or they wouldn't have any gay characters at all.
Right.
And they would not have backed off of Orson Scott Card being a writer on a digital Superman. With all of the big brouhaha over that. Now, it's funny that DC reacted to that PR fiasco by changing whatever direction they were going to go. And they don't react or respond to any of the other PR fiascos.
Well, I think with that, I think that was going to be almost a one-off. I mean, that wasn't going to be.
Yeah, it was just one title.
So you're not worried about
one story
wrecking, your plan for the next year or all that sort of stuff with it. But and it was so big because Ender's Game is a brilliant novel, but Orson Scott Card needs to learn to just stop talking. So I think that you're looking at something where it blew up so quick and so much, and Orson Scott Card didn't help. That's a completely different, separate thing, and that's a good topic as well to talk about how creators shoot themselves in the foot or in the head in some cases. But I think that you're right. They responded to that because the blowback was so big. I don't know if they realize how much this, and who knows what's going to happen? Because again, the loudest people on the internet are just the loudest people,
right? But they're only latching onto one particular aspect of this, and I think
because there's always going to be a percentage of your audience who are going to view something like this, whether it's a gay and lesbian members of the audience, or black or Hispanic or white. Or, there's always going to be somebody who's going to look at something happening and go, hey, this is, and that's just human nature, okay?
Right.
It looks like it's what seems to be, again, the vast majority of your gay and lesbian audience, they're there for the story. They're there for the characters. They're not there just because they're looking for, oh, look, it's a gay character. They're not doing that. That's not why they're there. They're there because the story is good, because they like Kate. They think she's a well-written character. They like what happened. They like the adventures she has. They like the fact that, it's a cool Batwoman character, They might do a certain degree. And again, folks, comments. Let us know what you think.
Especially because Tim and I are neither one gay or women or comic book characters.
So by all means, we're kind of comic book characters. We're not really people. But I mean, seriously, this is a legitimate discussion to have, because if you are a gay or lesbian reader of a comic book, and my friends who are gay, my daughter's a lesbian. These are the folks that when they're reading something or watching something, this is what they tell me. They're not there because the character's gay or lesbian. They're there because they like the story. So sure, there's going to be a certain percentage of attractiveness to just like anybody, who said, "Oh, I can relate to that character." Great, that's fine. But in this particular case, I think, because you're hearing from the creators that DC has never sat there and told them, "We don't want this gay couple to marry."
We don't want the marriage to happen,
which is just it's just. Don't let the people tell their stories. If it's not interfering with the bigger picture, and I can't possibly see how a marriage is going to interfere with the big 52 picture. Are we suddenly going to find out that Batwoman is the linchpin to saving the new 52 if only she hadn't gotten married? I mean, does that make any sense to anybody? That if only she hadn't married Maggie.
She got married, she changed her costume, and that ruined everything in the reset. I think DC's got a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is indicative of that problem. Now, I do want to say that we have reached out to DC to get a comment, and surprise, surprise, there is no comment yet. And I also
also something they've been doing on a lot of these decisions.
Yeah, they don't talk about anybody. And I did send an email to Hayden Blackman,
mm-hmm.
and basically said, "Look, you're probably getting tons of emails about this right now, but if you ever want it, we can talk about it either on the record or off the record." So that being said, I think we are certainly going to revisit this topic.
Oh yeah, it's
at length, yeah. And hopefully in depth if we can get somewhere. At one point, I think I put together a list of all of the titles that have been canceled by DC since New 52 started. I think we're up to 26, 27 different
titles. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and how many creative teams have left or have been fired since then? All of them, just about.
You have to wonder, there has to be, okay, maybe there isn't, but there's supposed to be a big picture. Yeah. Anytime you're running something like this, Marvel's got a big picture for their characters. DC's supposed to have a big picture for their characters. There's a plan, right?
There should be.
There's supposed to be a plan.
Well, and according to Williams and Blackman, they had a plan.
Right.
That was at least a year old, and they got the rug pulled out from under them at the last minute.
So what's the new plan?
And that seems to be the order of the day for DC, at the last minute. And that's a key piece. At the last minute, editorial comes in, and they say, "No, we want you to do it this way, X away, this... that this
right.
that
so,
you know
so,
and they can't make up their mind."
So what's the plan?
So where my question, and this is a wide open question for anybody who's involved in the DC process at all, my question is, where is this coming from? Is it coming from Diane Nelson? Is it coming from Bob Harris? Is it Dan DiDio? Is it Jim Lee? Is it a combination of all of those? Is it Warner Brothers that's coming in from up top, telling DC that certain things have to be a certain way in order to line up with what they want to do with the movies or the merchandising, or where that's what I want to know, is where is this chaos coming from?
That's a very, very good question. Although I have to say that if that means we're going to get a Batwoman movie, that could be kind of cool.
Her being married or not in the comic books doesn't make any difference in the
movie.
Exactly.
Of course it doesn't. No, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get an answer that nobody's going to tell us that.
No, and DC's not going to address it. I mean, they did two tweets. They said, like the creator said, it has nothing to do with them being gay. And that's all they say. And that's all they're going to do. And I'm really surprised that they did even that much, because they never address anything.
Well, but again, they had the Orson Scott Card thing blow up in their face. And so there's a certain amount of... They almost have to say that.
How many things have happened since then, though? I mean, since the Orson Card thing happened, you've had Andy Diggle leave, Josh Vilkoff's left, Alice Cott got fired.
But how many of those involved gay characters? I mean, so I think
there's
there's a certain recognition that when you're touching on certain subjects, that, you know, you run a PR problem, and race and sexuality and women's issues, and I mean, these are some of those hot button issues that can get people very, very upset, and some justifiably.
That's a point.
But at the same time, you know, don't make dumb decisions that get you into this situation. I mean, if you don't want blowback from your fan base, don't do things that are going that don't seem to have any justification.
Yeah, and this flies in the face of what, a year and a half ago, the big creators retreat that DC did down in, what was it, South Carolina, where Dan DiDio and Diane Nelson got up in front of everybody and said, "We're sorry for interfering. We won't anymore. We promise." And Diane Nelson stood there and said, "I'm here to make sure that doesn't happen."
Well,
and that lasted what, I hear, all of 3 days.
Yeah.
This is
obviously a part of a much, much bigger problem that DC is really, really having. And I think you and I could turn this into like another hour of discussing this, because there's so much going on and we're not going to do that.
Right.
I think that at the end of the day, what we're looking at here is the departure of a very, very talented creative team from a title that seemed to be going very, very well. With plans that seem to be going very, very well.
Well, and it won awards too.
Yes, yes, it definitely had. And that's, again, this is, and it would have solid fan base, solid sales numbers, solid awards, and yet suddenly the plan that the creators had and that they had been approved to do has been yanked out. So we've lost. And I'm sorry. Do you remember who's taken over the title?
It hasn't been announced yet.
Okay. I'm you know what? I'm sure they're going to be very, very good.
Because it was a sudden thing. I mean, this was what, Midnight Saturday they did this.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to pick somebody who's good. It would make sense to pick somebody who's a good writer to pick up a title that has been doing very, very well.
Unless they do the talent search like they're doing for the Harley Quinn writers right now. That's in the longer discussion which we will have
definitely
at some point.
So this is something that, you know, as fans of comics, even though, again, you know, Jason and I have our issues with New 52, and so we're not as well versed with some of these titles, because you try and stick your nose in and there's some of the things they don't like. I don't like they're doing with characters, blah, blah, blah. You know, so folks, if you have, again, this is where you can get involved in this process as well. In the comment field, talk to us about what you think about the New 52 and what's going on, because I'm sure you've noticed this stuff going on too. But yeah, it's really unfortunate that we're losing a very talented creative team on a title that was doing very, very well.
Yeah.
That was appealing to a wide range of people, when, you know, it's gay fans, straight fans, great artwork. It's a really bad decision.
Yeah, and speaking of artwork, I'm wondering how long Williams will last on Sandman after this, because he's supposed to be doing Sandman with
Neil
Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
And, Well, it's a Vertigo.
Hopefully a long time. I know he's excited about doing it. I read that the issues that he had with DC don't seem to be extending to the Vertigo titles, even though Vertigo is kind of still rolled in.
Right.
But if they're running them relatively separately internally.
Well, and that could be a reflection of what DiDio said about Vertigo not really being all that important.
Well, not to New 52, certainly.
No,
And it was always a niche set of titles. But the reality is it was a really fantastic niche.
Yeah,
set
but
of
for
titles.
Your but for your parent imprint co-publisher to say that your imprint is not important in the overall grand scheme of things. I mean, again,
Batman
longer.
Batman rarely
later.
Appears in Vertigo titles.
Yep.
So anyway, it's sad news. It's a loss of a really fantastic creative team, but it seems to be a trend that DC has decided it wants to go with.
Yes, and we are going to discuss that trend at length in a future episode of H2O. Right now we're going to head out and probably continue this conversation afterwards, but we're going to hit stop on the record button for now. You can pick up on the comments at scififorme.com. You can find the article there. It will have this audio embedded if you're listening to us on iTunes or through your RSS feed. You can go to our main site and pick up the post and leave a comment there about what you think about what's been going on. And also, if you want to subscribe to this feed, you can find us both on iTunes, and there's a button on our homepage at scififorme.com. You can click that and subscribe for future podcasts. We're going to get out of here now. We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting interesting few days to watch.
Let's have a reboot.
Yes, a reboot. Okay, and we're going to reboot. We'll be out of here. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back.
Thank you, folks.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com.